America Weekend.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. My next guest endured a private tragedy on a very public stage. Her brother, Ron Goldman, was murdered along with Nicole Brown Simpson in 1994. The accused killer, O.J. Simpson, was acquitted. She is now a victim's advocate, working with families around the country. Her new book, Media Circus, A Look at Private Tragedy in the Public Eye, is now available in bookstores at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and BenBellaBooks.com. It is quite a pleasure to be able to say hello to Kim Goldman. Kim, welcome to the show.
Well, that's quite an intro. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Kim. There is no one more appropriate to write a book such as this. Tell us about how it came about.
I've met such incredible people over the years traveling and speaking. I really love sharing stories about other people's experiences and how courageous and resilient victims and survivors are. And this, I think, just really spoke to me because it's an isolating feeling. It's a unique feeling to be thrust into the public eye when you're dealing with such horrific events. And I just reached out to 10 or 11 different families and asked if they would participate, and everybody jumped on it, and voila, we have Media Circus, and it's such a great read. If I could toot my own horn, it's a great read, but the stories are incredible, and I'm happy to share it.
What have you found to be the most difficult thing that all of these families have dealt with when they are cast into the public eye in a situation like this?
Having to navigate the shock and the horror and the disbelief over what happened while they're also trying to manage, you know, hundreds of cameras in their faces and people calling their house and sneaking into their funerals and knocking on their doors and the deceit and the invasion of privacy while you're also trying to manage all these other feelings that are very foreign to most of us. And then just the public scrutiny and the judgment that follows, as well as the support and the love. It's very confusing. It's a very confusing and high emotional time, and most of us are never equipped to deal with low emotional times, let alone to have it all thrust at you together.
That's true, and it's amazing because it is such a private time, and you're trying to handle the loss of someone very close to you, and you're also trying to help other family members through it, and we saw that with you and your family.
Yeah.
It's got to be so difficult to then have microphones and cameras all over the place and being asked for your time. What do you think of this? What do you feel about that? To be able to have to do that in front of all these cameras, and you're, again, the perfect person to talk to about this because you did it on, to that point, the biggest stage ever. I always admired the strength and dignity that your family showed day after day. Tell me how the relationship changed, altered, deepened between you and your dad after going through this process.
Growing up, I didn't have a mom growing up, so it was just my dad and my brother and I, so we were always incredibly close. I'm the baby, and when my brother died, it just really tightened the relationship, in some ways a little suffocating for me, but my dad and I still, we talk every day. My dad's a texter now, so that makes it a little bit easier, but we were who we always were. Now we were just, you know, we only relied on each other because we were the only ones that knew what we were feeling.
Sure.
But my dad's the greatest man I know, and such a hero to me outside my brother. And we're tight now as we've ever been, but just a different. It's just different. I think because we understand how fragile life is and how quick it can be taken, so we treasure every moment together.
And it's amazing how you and your dad were kind of taken into so many millions of families across this country that understood what you were going through, or at least tried to. And it was amazing how to be able to watch you and your dad support and kind of hold each other up. The one striking image that I remember the day of that verdict is when they announced that he was acquitted, and I can remember you crying, and I remember the look of just pure astonishment on the face of your father. That is that one image that I take from that day more than anything else.
Yeah, you know, the verdicts actually came the day before they were read, and so we had a full, 15 hours or whatever it was to process and to analyze what we thought was going to happen. My dad was convinced that he was going to be found guilty. I wasn't at that point, and so the look on my dad's face was obviously, like most of us, how did that happen? How could you set him free? We still question it and still scratch our heads about it, but I too won't ever forget that look on my father's face.
What was the strongest emotion you felt at that 1 minute when you actually heard them say that he was not guilty?
I think it was shock, but then I felt like we let my brother down. I mean, I remember feeling betrayed by the jury, and I just remember feeling like we failed. That's what I remember. And just disbelief, you know, just shock, and it was just all warped up into one. And then Ido very quickly telling us to quiet down, and we got up and walked out of the room.
Do you hold a grudge against that jury?
A grudge is a strange word, I guess.
Hard feelings, maybe.
I hold them accountable. Yeah. I mean, I hold them accountable for what they did. I obviously was taught to respect, you know, a verdict of a jury. But I disagree with it, obviously, and I think that they didn't do their job. If you listen to their interviews, if you listen to them tell you what their thinking process was, they stopped thinking and stopped listening to the evidence very early on in the case, and that's not what they're instructed to do. And so they didn't do their job, and I do have an issue with that. And their decision obviously forever impacted my life, and I do hold them to blame, obviously, for what they did.
To kind of direct the conversation back to the title of your book, Media Circus, that trial was the definition of the term media circus. That is where the whole nexus of this thing started from. As you saw that trial, in a lot of ways, spiral out of control. Mark Furman, everything that came along with that, the debacle with trying to try on the glove. You said when you sat there the day of the verdict, you were still holding out hope that maybe they would find him guilty. Did you find yourself losing hope in the entire system as you watched this whole thing play out?
Well, I did because I didn't understand. I mean, how many of us are put in that position? You know, when the evidence gets presented and it feels very logical to you, and then somebody comes in and throws a bunch of stuff up against the wall, and you're like, wait, what? And you see the faces of the jurors go, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense, and it flies in the face of reason. But there's so much going on that you can't tell what someone believes and what they don't, and you're having to judge based on facial expressions and body, you know, movement, and that's all so bizarre. But to me, it was plain view. I mean, it was exactly who it was, and the DNA proved it, in my opinion. And I was shocked when they came back with not guilty, but I guess deep down, maybe not, because they loved the killer, they loved the defense team, they were enamored by them. So I think that won out over truth.
You know, years later in 2008, I thought of you and your dad again when I found out that O.J. Simpson was convicted of essentially stealing a bunch of baseball cards and he was going to be going away to jail for that. I'm thinking karma is such a wild thing. What was the reaction of your dad, and how did you feel that day when you heard he's going to jail?
You know, this is going to sound so stinky, but we were doing an interview for the If I Did It book that was released exactly the same day that he stormed the hotel room and stole all of his own stuff back. And the news was breaking, and the interviewer asked us about it. And I remember my dad and I both bursting out into laughter because it was awesome. It was awesome to watch him be arrested for that, and the irony of him stealing his own stuff back to keep it from us. That was pretty cool. On the same day that we published what we believe is his confession.
That's right.
Everything kind of aligned in that moment.
Now we know what the phrase, what goes around comes around, really, really means. You know, the other thing I wanted to ask and I don't know if this is what you found with families as well, when everything quieted down, when the criminal trial was over and before the civil trial started and all of the microphones and the cameras just stopped and went away, what was that like for you?
So incredibly lonely and scary because I had so many people around me for so long, and same with all these families, we'll talk about that you're suddenly left to your grief, and that's really a hard place because so much time passes, and then all of a sudden you're dealing with it as if it happened seconds earlier. So it's a really lonely feeling, and you're thinking, wait, where did everybody go? You know, but you didn't want them there to begin with, but it was a comforting feeling for those however many days or months that they were there. And then that's when the real work actually begins.
Well, there is no one better to write a book such as this. The book, once again, is entitled Media Circus, A Look at Private Tragedy in the Public Eye. It is now available in bookstores at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at BenBellaBooks.com. And she does continue to be an inspiration. Kim Goldman, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day. Well, there she is, folks. You know, she was what, in her 20s when that whole thing took place? And that is, as I mentioned, well, actually two striking images. I remember the look of astonishment on her dad's face, and he's quite a guy. I mean, the way he was able to hold it together for that, and you could just tell the hatred he had for O.J. Simpson because of what he did. Let's be honest, folks. And the other image I remember, and we actually talked about this with Jim Murray, do you remember when they announced not guilty? And Johnny Cochran is slapping O.J. Simpson on the back, and Robert Shapiro has a little grin start to creep across his face. Do you remember the look on the face of Robert Kardashian? Yes, as in that Kardashian. His mouth dropped open, and he looked towards the jury, he looked towards Judge Ito, and he even kind of turned around back at Simpson, and you can read the look on his face as, can you believe what we just got away with? Isn't that amazing? And what Kim said, that jury fell in love with the Dream Team. Those guys were celebrities. They knew how to act, and they knew how to get their client off. But where is O.J. Simpson today? He's in jail, folks. What goes around comes around. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.